Hey friends, it's good to be with you today. And thanks for joining us here at First United Methodist Church in Clinton, Mississippi. I'm Ricky James, a senior pastor. And whether you're joining us online or listening to us at Supertalk FM, we're glad that you're with us today as we begin a new sermon series called Fear Not. I know a lot of us are afraid these days, and there's a lot of good reasons. Fear of illness, fear of economic uncertainty, fear of having to figure out how to go back to school or go back to work in the midst of just all the uncertainty. So we're just going to talk about it, about what makes us afraid, and how God calls us to fear not. So thanks for joining us, and welcome to worship.
Someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the skies and brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child and he cares.
Join me now in affirming our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you, friends. Every week, your generosity is overwhelming. And the reason why it's overwhelming is because I know there are lots of other things you could spend your money on and a lot of other people asking for it. But every week you give, and you give to the mission and ministry of this church. So thank you for making that a priority. And I just want to encourage you to keep up the good work and to help us enter into the fall in a really strong position as we continue to expand our ministries and our missions here at the church. So you can do that in a couple of different very helpful ways. You can give online at firstmethodistclinton.org/giving. You can mail your check here to 100 Mount Salis Road, Clinton, or drop your check or your gift off next time you're in the neighborhood. We'd love to see you anyway, so stop on by. And however you give, thank you. And remember, it makes an eternal difference.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm glad you're joining us today. I'm Miss Nikki, and we're going to have a few moments for the kids. I have a question for you, boys and girls, this morning. After saying hello, what do you usually tell someone the first time that you meet? Your name. So when you introduce yourself, you wave or shake hands and say, "Hello, my name is..." Like I would say, "My name is Nikki." Names are important. They can tell a lot about us. They can tell what family we belong to or where we came from. For example, do any of you have a family name, or are you named after someone special? We know people by their names. Where do you use name tags? Perhaps you have name tags at school, on your desk, or in your backpack, or maybe in your lunch bag. Every person has a name, whether they are old or young, brown hair or red hair, or they use a wheelchair or they walk. Our Bible verse today comes from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, and it tells us not to be afraid because God has redeemed us. He calls us by name and we belong to Him. Redeemed means to save someone from sin or evil. So God made us, and then the devil took us away because of sin, and then God needed to buy us back, so He did, through Jesus. So God sent Jesus to be with us here on earth, and then Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. He redeemed us, and because of that, now your name is Child of God. You are a child of God, and that's the reason we call Jesus our Redeemer. So even though the people had sinned, the Lord promised that He would always protect them. Now, knowing that Jesus died to save us from our sins and that we have been redeemed, we can introduce ourselves in a whole new way. We can say, "Hello, my name is Nikki, and I am a child of God." The most important name we will ever have is Child of God, and it means we belong to God. Every person is a child of God, no matter what they look like, how they talk, or where they live, no matter if they can see or hear or jump up and down. God loves all of us, and He loves us all the same. And that's the good news for today. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank You for loving us all the same. Thank You for making us Your children. We know we are a child of God and that we belong to You because Jesus saved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you join me now in praying to our Lord using the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Are you afraid of anything? Do you have a particular fear of something or some situation that you just can't control yourself? Like snakes? Or heights? Or dark places? Are you claustrophobic? You know, what are you afraid of? I think all of us probably have something that we have this kind of irrational fear of, that we know better. We know we shouldn't be afraid of it. We know we're going to be okay, but in spite of that, we just kind of get nervous or anxious or afraid. I've seen a lot of fear in the world these days, on Facebook and social media, in the news, just around people, friends of mine. There's a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. And that's understandable, right? And that's what I want to talk to you today about fear and how we are called as Christians to address our fear, what we do with that. Now, I do know that it seems like we're living in unprecedented times, and in some ways we are, but also in some ways it's always been like this to a certain level. I recently read a speech by a politician that really kind of caught the tension and the anxiety and the fear that we live in. I want to read you what he wrote. He wrote this: "Our values and money have shrunken to fantastic levels. Taxes have risen. Our ability to pay has fallen. Government of all kinds is faced by serious challenge. There are farmers who can't find places to sell. The savings of many are gone. Many unemployed citizens can't find work, and employers are unable to hire. Only a foolish optimist can deny the dark realities of our moment." Sounds familiar, right? Well, these words were written by that young up-and-comer Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who gave this as part of his inaugural speech in 1933 in the midst of the Great Depression, about economic anxiety and uncertainty, about the inability to find a job or to find people to work. But he concludes that famous speech with those words, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Now, Roosevelt wasn't a preacher, but I think he's onto something there. That fear itself can take hold of us. And despite all of the other evidence about things that we don't have to worry about, that fear captures us and can take a hold of us. And I want to talk about how fear doesn't have to do that. But I don't want you to take my word or Mr. Roosevelt's words for it. But rather, let's look to Scripture and the command that we find in so many places, to fear not. I want to share one of those passages today. We'll explore it together. And it's going to be a little bit of a poetry lesson. I know some of you don't like poetry, but some of you are really excited now. And wherever you find yourself on that spectrum, just stay with me for a bit, because I want to read to you a poem from the book of Isaiah. It's chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. Listen to what the prophet writes. "But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Saba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." This is a prophetic poem, a promise a word from the Lord, fear not. And this is a poem that was given to reassure the people of God. And in many ways, it's both very specific, but also timeless. Now, some of the first people who ever heard this poem were Israelites who were in exile. And during the time of exile, it brought them hope and it calmed their fears. Now, if you don't remember what the exile was, that's okay. Let me just remind us real quick. The people of God, the ancient Hebrew ancestors, had found themselves in slavery in Egypt. A famine had caused them to leave their homeland and to try to find food. And they ended up in Egypt where they found food. And then they kind of accidentally hung out for 400 years in Egypt and became slaves to the Egyptian pharaoh. But God sent His servant Moses to free them from slavery in Egypt and to bring them back home to the promised land. And God said, "This is your land, your home, and all you have to do is worship me and no other God, fulfill my commandments, and you'll stay in the land." Well, spoiler alert, the people didn't do that. They wandered, they neglected worshiping the Lord, they neglected the commandments, and in response, God allowed them to be sent into exile. They had to leave the homeland once again. And for a generation, for more than 40 years, they lived in exile, not in their homeland. And it's this prophetic poem that reminds them that in the face of their fear of their present and their unknown future, God offers reassurance. And that's what we see in this poem, the command to fear not. It's not just a thing God says, don't be afraid. He says, fear not, and then He explains the reasons why we shouldn't fear. And this poem gives a kind of a threefold reassurance. Here's our little poetry lesson, right? There's this kind of repetition of what God does. Notice there's a repetition of creation, redemption, and then a promise. All right, remember that. Creation, redemption, and a promise. Note this. If you got your Bible open, you might be able to see this. The passage begins, "Thus says the Lord who created you, Jacob, who formed you, O Israel." Creation. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." There's that redemption. And the word redemption is really important. In Hebrew, the word redemption means I have bought you. I have purchased you. The idea is that God purchased you out of slavery in Egypt and gave you freedom in the promised land. In many ways, in this section right here, the prophet is reminding the people of God of the two very important stories of our history, our creation in Genesis and our redemption in the book of Exodus. So you see that pattern of creation and redemption. "I'm the Lord who created you, Jacob, who formed you, Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you. You're mine." Creation and redemption. And then here's the promise in verse 2. "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they will not flood you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flame will not consume you." That's the promise there. So you see that pattern? Creation, redemption, and promise. It repeats itself again in verse 3. "I'm the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." That's the creation story. There's a triune formula there. The Lord your God, the Holy One, your Savior. And then the redemption part. "I give you Egypt as your ransom, Egypt and Seba as an exchange for you." Right? That redemption. And then notice the promise. "Fear not, I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you That promise, creation, redemption, promise. And what I love about this is God commands us to fear not by calling us back to remember that He is the one who created us. He redeemed us. And He has made a promise to us. And what exactly were those promises? Did you notice them? The promise there in verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you walk through rivers, they won't overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, it won't burn you. The flame will not consume you. I love this because the promise is not you won't ever have any problems. Life will be great. No, the promise is when you face the obstacles, not if, but when. When the world around you looks like it's going to flood you and overwhelm you. When you walk through the fires of this world and the fire of your life, it's not going to consume you. I love that because the promise is not you won't avoid problems, but the promise is in the midst of your problems, I'll be with you. Look at the promise in verse 3 and following. The promise is, I'll gather you. Remember, this is a poem heard by exiles who had been scattered from their homes. And the prophet is saying, the Lord will in time gather you back up. All you have been scattered to the four corners, the north, the south, the east, and the west. I'll gather you back in. Again, the promise is not that it'll be an easy time, but rather, in the midst of all that has scattered you away, I am with you even now, gathering you back in, bringing you back. You're not lost forever. You're not alone. All of God's children, He will gather us home. Fear not. So do you see the rhythm of that poem? It's a reassuring promise. The God who created you, the God who redeemed you, that God has made promises to you. Promises to be with you through the fires and floods. Promises to gather you home. No matter how far this life has scattered you away. So for those of you who are feeling afraid, for those of you who are feeling uncertain about the future, for those of you who wake up every morning and wonder what's next, I can't promise you an easy life or a quick fix. What I can offer is this prophetic poem to remember. So try this. The next time you feel a little bit afraid and starts to bubble up, remind yourself of who God is, who we are, and what God will do. Three steps. Who God is, who we are, and what God will do. God is our Creator. We are His redeemed children. And He will be with us. And He will gather us back home. Therefore, the word of the Lord says, fear not. Amen.
When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. and the waves, they will not overcome you. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. Yes, I am the Lord your God, and the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Yes, I am the Lord your God. Yes, I am the Lord your God. Fire, I will be with you, and the flames, they will not consume you. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine, for I am the Lord your God. Yes, I am the Lord your God, and the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. For I am the Lord your God. Yes, I am the Lord your God, and the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord.
So friends, as you go forth this week, when you pass through the floods, when you walk through the fire, or when you just kind of have to get up and go to work, wherever you go and however you go, remember, the Lord says, I am with you, and I will bring you home. Fear not. Amen.